get a little bit out of God's Word, and I'll tell you a little bit about Chile, where we're going, or where we've been. But it's good to have you guys here today. Just want to thank the church here for supporting us and being so good and kind to us, and just being there when we needed you guys in prayer and the support, and that's great. Want to thank the pastor. You have an excellent pastor, Pastor Crossford. He is just a great guy. I call him up, and he answers right away and says, you know, do you need to place? Do you need this? And so he's just great to take care of us. We've had a few changes in our life. We were in Argentina for a while, about 9 years worth, and did Bible studies, English classes, learned a bit of Spanish. I wish I'd have learned as good as my children learned. They talk very good, so if you want to hear some Spanish, I'd have to bring one of them up for you. But I can habla un poco de castellano, no hay problema, pero necesito más practicar. Mi chicos dice, malo español, bad Spanish, Dad. But I can go in, I can order parts at a parts store. I can get food, I can get stuff at the store. I can, you know, tell people about the Lord, but it's a bit difficult to preach. It's difficult to pick your voice up, tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ in another language. And they need to hear it in their language. So as time went on, I felt real burdened to find someone to work with. I wanted to work with somebody when I went there. And I've just felt that would be better. You know, they say teamwork makes it go better, and it does. And it's just nice to have someone to work with. So Kyle Sheridan, I was able to call him. He's been there 6 years, has a little work there, a very diverse work. He's got Colombians, Chileanos, Argentine. He's even had some people from Haiti come to the church and been able to preach to them and teach them and see many people get saved. So we're excited to go to this town. It's about 66 or 60,000 people. And we came from the country, 6,000 people. My boys knew everybody in town. They had a lawn mowing business. And so they were able to really get to know the people and learn the language and and just spend time with them. So we have friends there. We talked to the people there, got to know them. But the Lord just put it upon our hearts, my heart, to work with Kyle Sheridan and see God work in Chile. Let's go to word. Go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your great power, your strength that you give us. Thank you for your mercy. I always like to talk and pray about the mercy you had on humanity and man, that we might have salvation. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first few weeks, or actually the first, 2 months that we were in Chile, God blessed the English class. Me and Nancy have an English class that we teach. She's actually a very good teacher. She fills in for me very well when I come up a little bit short on the teaching end. But through that, in the pamphlet that we give out when we invite people to come to class, we have about 14 students. We offer Bible classes and another class on salvation. And one young man, about 21 years old, said he was interested in learning more about salvation, want to learn more about the Bible. And so Peter and Kyle were able to go witness to him. Now, here's a young man, 21. He's heard about God all his life. He's been in church. He's heard about Jesus. He knows the name. I mean, he knows the name. But when he'd sat down and started telling him how a man is born again, showing him that what he is in the sight of God, he was like, I never heard that. I never heard it in that way. And so they were able to give him a clear presentation of the gospel. And in that, Kyle said, I could have led him right there through a prayer. He goes, no. He said, I just sense that the Holy Spirit wanted to work on his heart more. The Holy Spirit wanted more time to convict him of sin and things in his life and to show him his need for Jesus Christ, the Savior that would bring him to God. And that next day he came and talked to Kyle and said, last night I asked the Lord to save me. So that's great to see the Lord work. And then we had another couple in the church. They just started going. They were from a Pentecostal background, Rodolfo, which is Rudolph, and his wife were attending the church. And the pastor, he likes discipleship classes. So he was having a discipleship class and teaching him more of the Bible. And through, once again, sitting down one-on-one, communicating what the gospel truly is, it's not some feeling, it's not some vision, it's a state of man not being able to satisfy God and needing a Savior that shed blood the way God said that a man could come to God again, and in that he got saved. Now, Kyle, he's a little bit strange guy. The guy I work with, he likes to baptize. And you say, what's strange about baptizing? I mean, we baptize the middle of the winter. Oh. Whew. Right now it is winter in Chile. And so this man, he's probably 32, 33, somewhere in there, got saved. And Pastor Kyle told him, he says, Sheridan said that now you need to look in baptism, being obedient, letting everybody know that you got saved and you're serious about the things of God. And the Rodolfo noticed that there was no baptismal in the church. He goes, well, where would I get baptized? Well, down at the river. Where else? Where else would you get baptized but at the river? Now, he baptized in a baptism hall. So he goes, it's cold outside. It's been below 32. We've even seen some snow down at the river. Yeah, down at the river. And he's like, you know, some of that. Okay, let's do this. So we all, after church, we all drive down to the river. And Kyle, he's about, he's a big guy, so he's a little more insulated. And he gets into that water, and you can just see, whoa. And Rodolfo's going, I don't know. But they got in, and they're tromping out there, and all of a sudden, Pastor Sheridan gets this big smile on his face and says, you're the one that has to go underneath the water. So he baptized him there in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he was obedient to God. And we know that from the Scripture, it's so clear that you don't get saved by dipping into water, that you get saved through Jesus Christ. And that's just some of the things the Lord has done. Now, you wonder, well, what about Mapuche? Do they have Mapuche there? Oh, yes. But the Mapuche in Chile are a lot different than the Mapuche in Argentina. Mapuche in Argentina, they live out in the countryside. They're very casual. You talk to them, yeah, I'm Mapuche, you know, no problem, very relaxed. They know Spanish. You're able to talk to them. But the Mapuche in Chile are just a bit different. Many of them are very quiet. They don't want to be known as Mapuche. They do their jobs. They you know, mix in society very well, no problem. The others, they are rebels. They're rebellious. They are against government. They're against anything but Mapuche. So it's just interesting dealing with that outright, I want my land back. You came and invaded. And so that makes it a little more difficult. But the Lord's put Mapuche upon our heart. We've already been to one of their, quite often they'll have something down in the middle of town, and they'll show their weavings and their headbands and some of their tradition. They have little Mapuche classes on Mapudungun, on how to speak the language. And it's really quite interesting because their language sounds more like English than it does Spanish if it's pronounced right, because their R's are R and not R like Spanish. So when they speak, if we use an English accent, it helps that out. Okay, I wanted to today just talk a little bit about a rebellious heart. A rebellious heart. Let's look at 1 Samuel 12, If you have a Bible, 1 Samuel 12. And in 1 Samuel 12:15, when you get there, if you'd stand with me, 12:15. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Let's just pray one more time. Lord, once again, please let your spirit work through me. Let me give the people here a lesson that would just work in their lives. We thank you once again for your kindness and your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Rebellion. Rebellion's a very bad idea in action. Rebellion brings death to all those that are a part of it. To define rebellion is to make war, to revolt, to renounce the authority and the laws in which one owes allegiance. And that's interesting, the definition, allegiance. When we rebel, well, we usually rebel against God. But we owe God everything. He created us. He sustains this earth. When we rebel in a family, we always rebel against our parents. Our parents feed us. They take care of us. They love us. But how many children that were loved and fed and taken care of just walk away from their parents? Just unkind. Just mean. And even today, you know, things aren't all that great in our country. But so many times we speak and act so rebellious towards our government. Yet what better government do we have? Why is that? Why is that that we rebel against those things that so dearly want to take care of us? God loves us, wants to take care of us. Our parents love us, want to take care of us. Now, the government doesn't love us. Don't misunderstand me. You've got to understand. There's bad things. There's wicked stuff that goes on in the government. But still, those police officers will come and protect you. There are still judges there that will judge in your favor if you're innocent. But why do we so often rebel against those things that are there to take care of us? Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, that's in the New Testament. Second Timothy 3:15. And I went to first. I always do that. 2 Timothy 3:15. And thou from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on, 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we got the scripture. Now, in my home, guess what was in my home when I grew up? A Bible. There was a Bible in my home. There was church. My parents took me to a church. They took me to a Baptist church. There were so many opportunities that I had. God blessed me with parents that wanted the things of God. He blessed me with a home that had a Bible. God blessed me with the ability to read the scripture. God blessed me with so many things. But what did I do? I chose to rebel. I chose the things of the world. I chose to ignore those things that are important. I chose to be lazy, and I chose the glitter that was out in the world. I chose those things. Now in 2 Timothy 3:16, it shows us that Timothy here, he knew the Bible. But did Timothy have a Bible? How many believe that Timothy had a Bible? No. He didn't have a Bible. We didn't have Bibles in all our homes until the 1600s. How blessed we are to have the Word of God in our homes. But how many were in their Bible this morning? How many wanted a little bit of God this morning? How many wanted some time in prayer this morning? Why is that? Right here. It's a rebellious heart. It's us rebelling against the one who wants to help us the most, the thing that'll help us the most. And I, as a youth coming up, being in a church, having the Bible, I said, no, I'd rather have a car. I'd rather have a good time. I'd rather have some fun and feel my head just be wah, than want God. And God's been so good to me since I got saved. How could I not want a part of what's good for me, because it doesn't always feel good? But I had my own Bible. I had those things that I could learn the truth. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Way of the transgressor, the one that draws back from the truth, the one that rebels from what is good for him. The way of the transgressor is hard. Can any of you think of someone who's had a pretty rough life? Can anybody think of someone who had a Bible in their home, had a church where the people cared? Maybe they weren't always the nicest. Maybe they weren't always, you know, what they wanted to be. But they were there for them. And they said, no, I won't have that. Were they blessed? No, they transgressed. And now, what is their life? I chose a hard and difficult path for many of years. At the age of 17, I left the church. I had enough to do with the church. I didn't want that foolishness. I didn't want that. I just figured it was for old men and women. I wanted something that was exciting, something that was more real than the house of God. I just thought, no. And then when you do step away from those things, you start being condemning. You start looking down. You start being narrow. I have seen the oddest things since I've been back in this country. The hypocrisy of the left, or the hypocrisy of those that you wouldn't think they by any chance would think that way. I mean, a lady running around in nylons, nothing else on, a pair of nylon, nothing, I mean, the other color. And okay, that's fine, that's what you want. But then they'll look over and see, oh, another lady would just show it. I hate to say it's a little bit the G-string. And they're like, oh, how wicked! I'm like, what are you talking about? When I grew up, a lady was dressed from hip to up. It's like, what? I can't believe this. And the guys... Oh, don't want to go there, but wow. It's just, we start looking down, we start condemning when we pull away, and it's always like, oh, you people at church, you look down so much on everybody. I'm sorry. This just ain't true. It ain't true. I'm tired of people saying, you look down on me. I says, I'm sorry, I don't. You live your life, I'll live my life. Let me live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can live for whoever. I will love you as long as you aren't doing something super wicked, and I'm just going to pull my family away. But thank the Lord for a wonderful father. I love my parents. They kept me from alcohol and drugs and things like that, but... cars, girls, rock and roll, a good time. Those things brought me down, and I had some fast cars, and Oh, you see, say with my testimony, I'd really play it up, man. I had just carnage. No more. No more. I ain't doing it no more. I feel like I lost my voice to the world. They love cars. They love money. They just love that stuff. And I tried to tell them, come on, son. It's not that important. I didn't have that much. But it does not pay. And when you think you got it, it's got you. And I say, don't misunderstand me. I want you to have a good job. I taught my boys to work. I taught my boys to be serious. But I'm telling you, if you're going out after that to think it's going to fulfill your life, it won't. No. Work hard. Be what the Lord wants you to be. But don't get caught up in that worldly stuff. You ask any saved man that's serious about God and start talking about his past and those things, he'll just say, it's empty. It is empty. Girls played a big role. Not that I had a lot of them. I just, girls. And I always, now I try to teach my boys, is leave the girls alone till you're ready to get married. You'll hurt them. You'll hurt them. And they'll hurt you. Hebrews is very clear. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God has a place for that, guys. Girls, it's in marriage. When you get there, it'll be a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Then there's a deception of education. I went off for electronics, studied hard, didn't go too well. But it was a blessing because in that, I realized that, okay, cars don't do it, girls don't do it, education doesn't do it, job doesn't do it. What's missing? What's missing in my life? What is missing? And one evening after school, as things weren't going too well, op amps, calculus, physics, just kind of melted my brain. And I went up after the class and just said, Lord, where are you at? God, where are you at? And I thought, it's got to be in church. Has to be in a church. And so we started going to a church. We went to a charismatic church, and that was a interesting time in our lives. And in the Baptist church, I noticed that I couldn't tell the difference between the people in the church and the people outside. They didn't teach me anything in the church that helped me when I went outside. So I said, this ain't it. So I went to a Bible study. One of my instructors that I really admired, very intelligent man, and he started teaching from the Bible, but didn't make sense. I'm like, what, am I missing it? Then I found out he was a five-point Calvinist. Whenever you get in those odd doctrines, you have a hard time understanding them, get away. And one evening after that Bible study, once again, I'm down saying, Lord, what am I to do now? And I said, Lord, I've been looking for a church. I said, Lord, I need a church. I need a church. It was a Friday night. So that next morning, someone knocked my door. Two old ladies, you know them old fuddy-duddies? Two old ladies knocked my door, handed me a tract. I looked at the tract, and at first I was pretty excited. At first I'm going, yeah, this is great, the church. And I looked at the top. Can't be. Baptist. I don't want to go back to a Baptist church. I just came out of that. Baptist. Why a Baptist church? Then I said, nope, I'm going. And I went to that little Baptist church. That Baptist church was different than any church I had been in my life. When that pastor got up and preached, he preached. When those people got up and sang, They sang, revive us again. Like they meant it. They were ready to go out and win souls. They were ready to worship God. They were just excited to be in the house of God. And Pastor Bray, when he preached, my dad did not like Pastor Bray. He did not. He goes, he preaches too loud. He yells too much. But I sat in a Baptist church when the pastor got up there and went, this guy, he had got my attention. And I said, okay, he might be a little strange, but I'm going to listen to this man. And he preached. And he preached. And it took over a year of preaching in his church. But he preached that we are sinners. And we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. You take the best, and before God, they're sinners. There's things that they're supposed to. There's things that men should do, but they don't. God says that we sin when we don't do the things that we know we're to do. God is perfect. God is perfect. He created us. He is a great creator. He created this world. It does not matter what the science says. Science so false, I can't say it. So false they're called. He created this. It is too unbelievably, too awesome, too spectacular, too unexplainable, too small, too big, too wide, too tall to be an accident. It just can't be. They sit there and put you in this little room with this little book and say, this evolved over millions of years. You have to be like this in a room and taken out to a site and said, look at this, to believe something so spectacular was an accident. The eye, the hearing, like I said, how small do things really get? Can you even fathom it? And you're telling me, poosh, how big are things? Universe, Earth, do you really have an idea of how big this Earth is? They give it a measurement, but it don't mean much up here. No way.
God is perfect. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. And that awesome and that wonderful and that God cannot tolerate sin. It can't tolerate sin. But guess what? God created us to have fellowship with Him. That's why we were created. We were created to be God's friend. We were created to spend time with Him. And you say, well, if He was such a great God, why did He create a sinner? He didn't. He didn't create a sinner. I mean, He didn't create a sinner. He created a perfect being. But to have a perfect being want to be a friend and want to worship Him, there has to be this little glitch called free will. You know what free will is? It's the thing your kids try to exercise when you tell them what to do. Really, it is. So God had to put in man the choice to live how He wants to live. And said, if you're going to come to me, you're going to come my way, you're going to come on your own, you're going to come because you love me, because you want to be in my presence. That's it. But guess what? Adam, he said, oh, the world is so wonderful. The world is so beautiful. I want the world. And then who did we follow? Our father, Adam, myself. I was given everything. I rebelled and said, no, don't want it. I want the things of the world. God said, sorry. You can't come that way. I won't take you.
And guess what? He can say no. When you're all powerful, all sustaining, you can say no. Nope, you're going to come my way. God wants us to be his friend. God wants us to be with him, but there's that free will. You say, well, okay, I'm a sinner. He's perfect. How do I get from here to there? It's pretty simple, yet extremely complex. That's God. How simple are the things of the world, but yet how complex are things of the world? The simplicity of the gospel is you're a sinner and you want to come into the presence of God. You can't. So you need someone that can intercede for you. You need someone that can make you righteous, make you clean. God says, I know the person. It's my son. My son, Jesus Christ. This is the one that can make it so you can be friends with God and no longer be a rebel, no longer be at odds with him, but can have fellowship with him. But it's only one way. That is faith in my son, Jesus Christ, believing that his death, his burial and resurrection will pay that price and make you righteous. That blood that he shed on the cross will cover you, so then once again the Father could look on you through the blood of Christ and what he did. We have fellowship. It is on the knees, standing up, looking down, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I did that. I thought I did it at 10. But at 10 years old, all I said was, Jesus, please come into my heart. My mom and daddy think I need to be a Christian. But when I got 32, God worked me out, worked me over, took me low. I said, God, I got on my knees. I said, Lord, please forgive this sinner. Because when you get about 30, you start realizing how wicked you really are. Yeah. You really do. Because if you're looking back at hurt girls, hurt family, hurt parents, how'd I get here? So then now you're on your face saying, God, forgive me, a sinner. That's not enough. It's not enough to admit you're a sinner. Then I said, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for I got back into the Baptist religion, started trying to be a good Baptist. See, it's just funny how religion just brings that on. Got back in the Baptist church, trying to be good, and guess what? After you're saved, God expects good works. God expects you to live for him. But I just said, Lord, please forgive this Baptist fool. I did Baptist fool. And save me. And he saved me. It was no halfway. It was nothing to satisfy my parents. It wasn't anything but for the Lord. I wanted to fellowship with him. I wanted to be clean again. And that's my testimony. That's how God brought me from having a Bible, going to a church where no matter what I say, they still told me about the Lord Jesus Christ and live my life and see all the trail of the damage. And then hear the Father say, no, you can have life and life eternal. And I just... All of a sudden, we were in missions, traveling the country, and the Lord's been good. He still, because of who I am, he's a patient God. He is a patient God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you for having the Bible, having it in our own language. Oh, Lord. Please convict those that are lost. convict those that are saved but are living for themselves, desiring the things of this world. Lord, how we need a revival. We need our hearts revived. We need to realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by your Son. How I desire for my family, my children, extended family, the people of this country, the ones in authority, to see their state of rebellion and call on you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.